All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin another beautiful daf today. So today's daf is Lamed Beis 32. We are picking up Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis 31b, three lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, the rabbis taught, Ezuhu Mora ve'ezuhu Kibbutz. Rabbosai, now we've made reference to this. We've made reference to this over time. So the Gemara says, there are two distinct and unique obligations when it comes to honoring parents. There's a concept of mora and a concept of kibud. So what is mora? What is kibud? Now again, they usually translate mora as reverence and kibud as honor. So what's the distinction between these two mitzvos? Mora lo omed b'mkomo, a person should not stand in his father's place. Lo yoshev b'mkomo, a person should not sit in his father's place. Lo soser es devarav, nor should a person contradict his father's words. Lo machrio. What's actually interesting? Lo machrio means you shouldn't agree with your father either. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi points out, lo machrio, im haya avi v'chacham echad chalukin b'dvar halacha, lo yomar nirim divrei ploni. If my father and another talmid chacham are arguing about something, I should not weigh in on this discussion with my opinion. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kibud? What's honoring parents? Ma'achilu mashke, I give my father to eat. When I say my father, you mean my father, my mother, my parents, to eat, to drink. Malbush, I clothe them. Mechasa, I cover them. Machnisu motzi, I make sure they're able to go in and go out. So what says the Gemara, so you see the distinction over here, that mora, yira, or reverence, is behavioral, meaning these are ways in which I interact with my parents, versus kibud, which is much more service-oriented. This is ultimately, again, the services I'm providing for my parents. So I think I'm going to ask a fascinating shayla. Top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Mishel mi. So now that I know that I have an obligation from kibud to make sure that my father and my mother have food, have clothing, whose money? Who has to pay for this? Who has to foot the bill of taking care of their needs? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishel Bein. Rabbi Yehuda says it's the son's obligation to foot the bill from his own funds. Rav Nosson Bar Hoshia Omer Mishel Av. Unless Bar Hoshia says no, the halacha is that the son is obligated to put in the time to make sure these things are taken care of, but the money comes from the parent. So the rabbis motioned, or they signaled, they instructed Rav Yirmiyah. Others say it was the son of Rav Yirmiyah. So the rabbis seem to indicate that the halacha follows the one who says that the money comes from the father, that it is the parent's responsibility to pick up the bill for paying for their needs, but it's the son's obligation to make sure that ultimately it occurs. Says the Gemara Meisvei, Gemara is the Kasha, Ne'amar Kabiras Avicha Vesimecha. The pasuk says, honor your father and mother, and the pasuk says, honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will say, mehoncha, literally means from your glory. This the Gemara darshins, but again, it also literally it means your wealth. Malah halon bechisaron kis, just like Rabbi said, kavides Hashem mehoncha, honor God from your wealth means you have to pay for it. The expenses on you, afkan chisaron kis, so to kavides avicha v'asimecha should be at the expense of the son. Ve'i amrit mishal av, and if you say that kibud av comes at the father's expense, my nafkole mine, then again, if it doesn't cost the son anything, then what does it matter? To which the Gemara says, it matters lebitl malacha. Because Rabbi said, even though, let's say again, the son is providing for the food of his father, even though again, the father pays for that food, but lemaisa, at the end of the day, the son has to take off work, the son has to go ahead and be mavat a lot of his own time in order to take care of his parents. That has a cost associated with it as well. That cost, of course, is borne by the son. That cost is not picked up by the parents. Only the actual food, clothing, bless you, those things are taken care of by the parents. Tashma. So the Gemara raises the Braisa. Beis Achim, if you have two brothers, or Shnei Shutfin, two partners, or Ha'avu B'no, or a father and his son, Harav V'Talmida, or a Rebbe and his Talmud, Podin Zeh Lo Zeh Ma'aser Sheni. They could redeem each other's Ma'aser Sheni. Remember again, we spoke about this a little bit earlier. Take a look at the second line in Rashi. Podin Zeh Lo Zeh Ma'aser Sheni. Im Yesh Lo Aviv Ma'aser Sheni, Poda Ha'ben Mishalo, L'Tzarech Aviv B'lo Chomesh. Remember we learned this, that if you redeem Ma'aser Sheni, if you redeem your own Ma'aser Sheni, the halach is you have to add on an additional fifth. If, however, you redeem someone else's Ma'aser Sheni, if someone else redeems your Ma'aser Sheni, the redemption could take place without a fifth. So in the case over here, the Gemara is telling me that a son could redeem his father's Ma'aser Sheni without the additional fifth, which tells you what? that son and father are considered to be two separate entities. But lo amrinan, Rashi says, we don't say harehu kigufo, that a son is like his father, sharehu o havo, because the son loves the father, umizonosav alav, and the responsibility to support the father is upon him. And therefore the father should not be treated like a separate entity from the son. And it's as if the father is redeeming it himself. So you see that we do not see that. We see that, again, father and son are reckoned as two separate entities. Therefore, if son redeems his father as Maiser Sheni, so he has the what? He does not have to pay the additional fifth. But here's the chap. But this is quite interesting. So let's say my son is one of the tithes that I have to separate out for the poor. Let's say my father's poor. So the Gemara says, I can give my Maaser Ani to my father. Now watch this. V'i Amrit Mishal Ben. If you say that when a father supports his son, so that a father, when a son takes care of his father, that a son is obligated to do that on his own dime, with his own money. Nimsa ze porea chovo mishalaniim. Suppose that there's a general halacha by tzedakah. My son is tzedakah. The general halacha is you are not permitted to pay existing obligations with tzedakah money, even if those existing obligations are of a chesed nature. So, for example, let's say I have meiser money, I have tzedakah money, and I want to buy myself a new pair of tefillin. I can't use that money to buy myself a new pair of tefillin because I have an obligation to wear tefillin. I can't use it to buy a lulav. I can't use it to buy a sukkah. This is assuming a person has other funds. I'm not allowed to do that. You know, the big topic today is using meiser money for tuition. So again, there is a machlokis about it, but there's a very strong argument to say that you cannot do it for the simple reason that I'm obligated to provide my child with a Jewish education. So because that is an obligation, it seems to be that I can't use tzedakah money to pay for something that is obligatory upon me. So now with the Gemara saying over here something quite interesting. The Gemara is saying, what the Raisa just said was, if my father's poor, I could use my Maaser Ani to take care of my father. So says the Gemara, well, let's analyze this. If you tell me that the son has an obligation to take care of his father, then what? Then it turns out that the son is paying his own obligations with Maaser money, with tzedakah money, and that's Aser. To which the Gemara says, no. Look now. So therefore the Gemara is bringing this as a proof that it must be that what? Mishal Av. That the son has an obligation to take care of his father, but the son does not have an obligation to foot the bill. Meaning the bill is the father. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha, not necessarily. Laha adafa. Oh, this is interesting. Hadafa means additional amounts. What does the Gemara say? Look at Rashi just a moment. La adafa. Alav mot la'achilo la'ashko so mida benonis. Maybe the possibility is like this. If you say the son is obligated to foot the bill for taking care of his father, the son is obligated to provide his father what we'll call, for lack of a better term, with a basic standard of mediocre care. Right? That's what I'm obligated to do, mediocrity. If the father needs something additional, then I, the son, am not obligated to pay for that. I could take that from my Maaser Ani money. So the basic obligation, maybe I have to pay for my own funds, but anything, well, quote unquote, above and beyond, however you define above and beyond, that could come from my Maaser Ani. If that's the case, but if that's the case, what do you do with Rabbi Yehuda's statement who says, a curse should come upon someone who supports his own father from Maaser Ani? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda felt that it was a disgusting thing. How could it be that I'm going to use tzedakah funds to go out and support my own father? I should be taking care of my father for my own money. And if you're talking about just the additional amounts, my nafka minei, Ella, as the Gemara says, afilu hachi zela beimilsa. To which the Gemara says that at the end of the day, even if technically speaking, you can support your parents from Maaser Ani for the additional amounts, nevertheless, zela beimilsa. It's not nice. It's not the proper derech kibud av ha'eim to support your parents from tzedakah funds. So we'll say, so bottom line, how do we paskin? So we paskin halacha l'maisa that there is an obligation of kibud av ha'eim on the son, right? That we've already established on children. But the financial obligation does not rest upon the children. In other words, I have an obligation to make sure that my father and my mother are taken care of, but I have the halachic right to use their money to take care of them. I do not have an obligation to use my money to take care of them. Now that's assuming what? That's assuming they have money. If they don't have money, then I absolutely have an obligation to take care of them on two levels, for my own money. I have an obligation to take care of them for my own money, al tzki b'rav ha'im, and also al tzedakah. And therefore, again, in a situation where parents, this unfortunately could be the maisa, in a situation where parents do not have money, and they require care, a child is absolutely permitted in that situation to use tzedakah funds. Because if the parent doesn't have money, then they're an ani. Once they're an ani, the child is permitted to use charitable funds to take care of his parents as well. Tan Rabbanan, Shalus Rabbi Lazar, Adhechon Kibud Avayim. That's Rabbi Lazar. To what extent does the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim go? What extent does it? What's the extent of it? Amar lahem, to the point he said to them, even to the point that they should eat arnaki v'zikhen aliyam befanav ve'inu machlimo, even to the point where what? Where the parent will take his wallet and will throw it into the sea, and the son won't embarrass the parent. So also we spoke about this yesterday. An incredible idea that the greatest manifestation of honoring one's parents is the ability to exercise restraint in the face of difficult parental behavior. So the Gemara says, one second, the Amrit Mishal Av, my nafkalei minei. So listen to this. Now we're going, the Gemara is going back. If you want to say that the son is out, if you want to say that it's only the father who's obligated, meaning if you want to say that the son has an obligation to take care of his parents, but does not have an obligation to foot the bill, so therefore their financial responsibility is on the father, then we're talking about a case where the father's throwing his own wallet into the sea. So what's the big deal? So what's the big deal? The Gemara says, and if it's the father's obligation to provide for his own financial needs, and the father's throwing his own wallet into the sea, so what's the big deal if the son goes ahead and exercises restraint? To which the Gemara says, "Berai liyarsho." Oh, what are we talking about over here? Hey, that's my inheritance, right? So even though, again, it's the father's money, the son would be tempted to get upset because lamaisa, again, that's he stands to inherit it. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna wanted to test the midos of his son. So what does he do? He goes ahead and he tore silk. He tore silk in front of Rabbi his son. Amar Ezel Ichzi Irasach Ilo Rasach. Let me see if my son will get angry or not. So the Gemara says, one second, how can you do this? V'dilma Rasach, maybe the son will get angry. Maybe the son will get angry, and if that's the case, the father is in violation of lifnei iver. To set someone up to get upset is a violation of lifnei iver, of placing a stumbling block. Demachil leikare, because this is a case where the father was mochel on his cub. The father says, it's okay, if he gets upset, I will not hold him accountable for his lack of kibudav. V'ka'ai v'haka avr mishum bal tashchis. What about bal tashchis? Tearing up silk unnecessarily is an unnecessary destruction. The avid lay bepum baini, where he tore the silk on the seam, right? On the stitching. Therefore, again, you can easily stitch it back up afterwards. I have a dil mishum hachi lo rasach. But maybe that's why the son didn't get upset. To which the Imam says, the avilei b'shas v'ischa. No. The father did this when the son was already upset, and he wanted to test his son's midos. Again, we'll say this is not necessarily a good idea, because sometimes, again, you set people up in vulnerable situations. Quite possible and probable that they'll fail. But again, this was what the father felt he wanted to do to see where his son was holding in his midos. Obviously, just an incredible yisod also, how you realize that sometimes stressful situations in life by themselves, every situation in life is an yisayon. Every situation in life is a test. And how we act in those circumstances ultimately depends how we pass the test. We often don't realize it's a test, but the Ribbono Shel Olam places many different circumstances right at our doorstep to see who we are, how we're going to behave, and what we're going to do. So the Gemara goes weiter. Masni l'Rabbi Cheskel l'Rami Berei. So Rabbi Cheskel taught the following teaching to Rami, his son. So what was the case? Hanisrafim bin Iskalib. So it was an interesting case. Let's say you have a group of people. And all of them deserve a death penalty. Some of them by Sreifa, which is, remember, where they used to pour molten lead down the throat of the person, and others by skila, where they would first push a person off an elevated platform, and then usually he would die on impact. If he didn't die on impact, they would stone him. So let's say what happens. So we'll say, so according to this case over here, you have somebody who was deserving of sreifa, who got mixed in with a group of people who are obligated in skila. So what do you do in such a situation like this? Rabbi Shimon Omer Yadunu b'skila. Every member of the group there will then get skila. Why? Shasreifa chamura. Because they both say sreifa is considered to be a more stringent form of death than skila. Because again, there is a doubt as to who is who in the group. The only thing you could do is what? You administer the more lenient death penalty to all of them. So from the Rav Yehuda Berei, so Rav Yehuda, his son, said to this is Rav Yecheskel. So Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Yecheskel, said, Abba, father, lo tisnaye hachi. Father, don't teach like that. Right? That's not the correct teaching. He says, my area sreifa chamura. Why do you have to say that we give them all skila because sreifa is more chamar? Why don't you say the following? Teipuklei, deruba niskalim ninhu. Why don't you say simpler that in this case, the majority of the people present are individuals who were liable to skila. And therefore, again, we go after the rove. We go after the majority. Ella, rather, if you're going to state the case, father, here's how you should state it. Ella hachi isnaya. Here's how you should state the case. What's the case? Haniskalim banisrafim. If you have somebody who was supposed to be put to death by skila, who got mixed into a majority of people who were to be executed through sreifa. So what do you do in this case? Amalei ihachi ema seifa. So we'll say, so therefore again, Rabbi Yehuda, the son, was saying, in that case you could say that although Rove would tell you that what? That you should give sreifa, but because sreifa is more chamer than skila, and because we have a safek, we'll give skila, which is the more lenient form of death. Amalei said to him, ihachi ema seifa. But if that's the case, look at the end of the braisa. The chachamim omrim yadunu b'sreifa. The chachamim say that you go ahead and you administer sreifa. Why? Shaskila chamura. Because skila, because according to the chachamim, says machlokis as to which form of death is more chamer. The chachamim say you give him sreifa because skila is more chamer. But if that's the case, that one guy who's getting skila got mixed in with a group of guys for sreifa, nothing to do with chumra, my area the skila chamura, tepukle deruba nisrafim ninhu, say that the majority of people were subject to the penalty of sreifa. Amrale hasam rabbanon hu dekamrale the Reb Shimon. So there, the end of that braisa is a response from the rabbis according to Reb Shimon. The ka'amrit sreifa chamura, lo skila chamura. The rabbis were responding to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, you said that sreifa is more chamer than skila. The rabbis are disagreeing and they say, no, skila is more chamer than sreifa. So we'll say, so why do we bring down this whole story? Amrale Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, shinina, sharp one. Lo tema le la'avuchachi. Don't talk to your father that way. Well, remember, how did this story begin? The story started with Rav Yecheskel, going ahead and giving over a teaching. His son, Rav Yehuda, said, father, don't teach the Braisa that way. Comes along Shmuel, says, Rav Yehuda, shinina. Shinina is a complimentary term. Sharp one, you're a big Talmud Chacham. You shouldn't talk to your father that way. In other words, don't tell your father not to teach the halacha in a particular way. We'll say it's actually a profound gemara. Tisanya, because we learned, Hare Shahaya Aviv over al divrei Torah. If a person's father was violating Torah law, al yomar lo abba avart al divrei Torah. Don't say, father, you violated a halacha, you violated Torah law. El omar lo abba kach kasa b'Torah. Bless you. Rather, a person should say, father, this is what it says in the Torah. Yomar says kach kasa b'Torah. Suri kamisarele. Isn't that's going to make it worse? Meaning again, if the father does something and the son says, oh, by the way, this is what it says in the Torah, the father is going to clearly understand that his son is rebuking him, that he did something wrong. Elo omer lo, rather this is what he should say. Abba, mikra kasuv batorah. Rather, what he should say is, father, there is a pasuk that is written in the Torah. Rashi says over here, mikra kasuv batorah. Rashi says, v'omer lo hamikra, kimoshu kasuv, v'hu atzmo yavin shetah. So we'll say, in the first approach, when he says, abba kach kasuv batorah, so that statement is seen as a response to parental action. So that's going to embarrass the father. As opposed to if the son says, father, you know, there's a fascinating pasuk that's written in the Torah. He's just making a statement of fact. the father will understand on his own to apply that newfound information ultimately again to his deeds. So also you see from here an incredible yisod, which is that even if a parent is doing something wrong, a child must exercise the utmost sensitivity in how they go ahead and convey that information to the parent. That a child can't come out and say to a parent what you're doing is wrong. Rather, a child has to go ahead and convey it in a much more nuanced fashion. So the Gemara goes weiter. Elazar ben Masya Omer. So Elazar ben Masya said the following. Abba Omer Hashkini Mayim. So Elazar ben Masya brings down the following case. He says, what happens? My father is asking me for a drink of water, but at the same time, there's another mitzvah. There's another mitzvah. Rashi says over here, Abba Omer Hashkini Mayim. V'yish mitzvah acharas lefonai lasos ki go likbor asameis olavayo. So let's say again, my father asks me for a cup of water, and there's another mitzvah that's supposed to be performed at that same time. There's a funeral going on, and there's a mitzvah to malava to escort the dead, or there's a grave that needs to be dug. So what should I do in that case? So Elizabeth Masi says, maniach ani kavod avo, keep kavod avo, va'osas ha-mitzvah. So Elizabeth Masi says, I would leave aside the mitzvah to getting my father the cup of water, and I would go do the mitzvah. Why? Sha'ani v'aba chayavim b'mitzvah. Because we both said the mitzvah represents a service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and both my father and I are obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So meaning, there's a hierarchy. So if God needs something, my father needs something, what do? Allah's Mamasi says, I take care of God first, because both my father and I are both obligated in the service of God. Oh, Se'isi ben Yehuda Omer, im ef shalom mitzvah le'asos ayde acherim te'as ayde acherim v'yelechu b'chavar aviv. So Isi ben Yehuda says, well, it depends. If the mitzvah could be done by someone else, then better for someone else to do it and you take care of your father. The inference being that Enochinami, if it can't be done by someone else, then Enochinami, the cheshbon is correct. I have to take care, I have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu first and then serve my father afterwards. Amar Rav Master of Masna says, Halochi ki Isi ben Yehuda. The Halach indeed follows Isi ben Yehuda, and therefore I was faced with two obligations. One to serve my father, one to go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, assuming that the mitzvah cannot be done by someone else. So the mitzvah can be done by someone else, I'm better off delegating that mitzvah and serving my father. So now we come to a fascinating discussion. Amar Amas, Amar Rav Chisda. Ha'av shemochol al kivodo, kivodo mochol. So we'll say a father who chooses to forgive the honor due to him, so his kavod is mochel. He's able to be mochel. He's able to forgive that kavod. But this is actually a fascinating halacha. This is why, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan discusses this. The halacha is, and we'll discuss this, that whenever one's father enters the room, person is always supposed to stand up. But yet, again, it's fascinating that you don't see that this halacha is often practiced. So the Aruch HaShulchan says something. The Aruch HaShulchan says that today there's an implied mechila. The assumption is that a father is mochel on that level of kavod. A father is mochel on that level of kavod. And therefore again, children don't stand up. Which I will say is what we'll discuss. As much as a parent could be mochel on their kavod, it's best that a parent is not mochel on their kavod. It's very important that, if children don't learn respect, if children don't learn respect for their parent, it's very hard to have respect for anyone else in life. Because your parent is your first authority figure and the person in life who does the most for you, even if they're not such a great parent. They brought you into this world. If you can't respect that, it's hard to respect other people or other institutions or other offices in life. So, okay, but nevertheless, if a father chooses to be mochel on his kavod, the kavod is mochel. Harav shemochel al kavodo, if a rav goes ahead and is mochel on his kavod, in kavodo mochel, so ultimately, again, a rav cannot be mochel on his kavod. I will say, now the distinction there would seem to be, we'll discuss the idea that the rav's kavod is not his own, but rather it's kavod HaTorah. So it's not his kavod to be mochel on. On the other hand, Rav Yosef Amar, afidu a rav shemochel al kavodo, kavodo mochel. On the other hand, Rav Yosef says, no, even a rav could go and be mochel on his kavod. Shene, he could forgive it, the honor due to him. Shene emar, v'Hashem holech lifnehem. Your mom says an amazing raya. Because what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu journeyed before the camp at night. So we'll say, excuse me, by day. So the idea is what? Under normal circumstances, the camp would go first, God would go behind, right, as a sign of covet. If the Ribono shel Olam could be mochel on his covet, so the Rav could be mochel on his covet also. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hachi hashta hasam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alma dilehu, v'tora dilehu, samachio leili kare. So God could be mochel on his covet. You know why God could be mochel on his covet? Because the world belongs to God, the Torah belongs to God, the covet is the Ribono shel Olam. Therefore, because it's his, he has the right to be mochel on it. On the other hand, Hacha, but by Tam Chacham, by a Rav, Torah dilehu. So this is what we said before. So the Torah is not his. Meaning the fact that a Rav has Torah, he learned the Torah, but that he doesn't own that Torah. So because he doesn't own it, the covet is not his to be mochel. He doesn't have the right to forgive that covet. On the other hand, Hada Amar Rava, in Torah dilehu. It's not true. When the Rav acquires Torah, that Torah does become his. Dichsev ubisoro so. So let's say, if you notice again, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ubisoro, so in his Torah, he will toil day and night. The idea being that once the Rav learns the Torah becomes his. In other words, therefore, the covet is his, and therefore what? He has the right to be mochel, he has the right to forgive it, if he so chooses. Is that true? Is that true that a Rav could be mochel on his covet? Vini vaha Rava mashki behiluva debrei. This is a fascinating case. Rava was serving wine to his guests at the wedding of his son. The wedding of his son. So he was serving wine to his guests. So what happens? V'dali kasa l'Rav Papa u'l'Rafuna b'Rei Rav Yoshua. And he poured a cup of wine to Rav Papa and to Rafuna b'Rei Rav Yoshua. V'kamo mikameh. And I will say, even though now, remember, here's what's interesting. In this capacity, Rava was acting as a mesharis. He was acting like as a steward, as a butler. So essentially, when he was doing this, it appears he was being mochel on his covet. Right? Because, again, a Talmid Chacham, a Rav, ideally would not be in the capacity of serving someone else. So the fact that he's serving someone else, he's being mochel on his covet. Nevertheless, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua stood up before Rava, even when he was serving. Rav said, now what that seems to indicate was what? That they felt that he could not be mochel on his covet. So even though, again, he's pouring the wine, he's still the Rav. He can't be mochel on his covet. The Rav Mari or the Rav Pinchas Berei Rav Chista v'lo kama mikameh. On the other hand, when Rava poured wine for Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, they did not stand up. Apparently, they felt that once Rava was mochel on his covet, he forgave the honor due to him, so they didn't have to stand up. Ikpid. And ultimately, Rava got upset. Va'amar, Hanu Rabbanon, Rabbanon, Vahanu Rabbanon, Lav Rabbanon. These first rabbis, these are real rabbis. These second rabbis, they're not rabbis. Well, so in other words, so what's going on over here? So Rava is in front to his covet. We'll say, understand, Rava is saying that this second group, this second pair, Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, were not exercising proper Kavanah Torah. That even though I, Rava, am pouring wine, and therefore am mochel on my covet, nevertheless, there's still an obligation to respect the Talmud Chacham, even if he's mochel on his covet. I will say what that seems to say, is that if the Talmud Chacham, if the Rav is mochel on his covet, even if he forgives the honor due to him, the honor is not forgiven. Others still have to honor him. So the Gemara says, Vesu, Rav Papa hava mashki beilula da abba mar berei. That was another interesting case. Rav Papa was pouring wine. Rav Papa himself was pouring wine at the wedding of his son Abba Mar. V'dali le'kasa l'Rav Yitzchak berei Rav Yehuda v'lo kamikameh. And Rav Papa poured a cup of wine to Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yitzchak did not stand up. V'ikbid. And Rav Papa was upset, because he felt ultimately at the end of the day, even though again he was forgiving, he was being mochel on his covet, people still owe covet to a Talmid Chacham. Afilu hachi hider me'avid le. So we'll say it's actually quite interesting. Even if you hold that harav shemachal al kvodo kvodo mochel, even if you hold that the Rav Talmid Chacham could be mochel on his covet, nevertheless there's an obligation of hider. We'll say, what does hider mean? Look at Rashi. Hider, lanua ma'at, this is interesting. That even if you say that a Talmud Chacham, that a Rav could be mochel on his covet, and let's say even if you say that the covet is then mochel, that the covet is forgiven, nevertheless, people should at least make a, what we call a hider, you know, a motion like I'm about to stand up, even though I'm not really going to stand up. But at least a movement that indicates, again, I understand you're being mochel on your covet, so I'm not obligated to stand up, but there's a hider. There's still a little bit of an act of respect towards the Talmud Chacham, towards the Rav. So the Gemara says, Bo, I'm sorry, Amravashi, Afilim Adon Rav Shemachla, Kvodo, Kvodo Machol. So we'll say, even if you hold that a Rav who is Machol on his Kavod, who forgives the honor due to him, the Kavod is Machol, he has the right to forgive that honor. But so remember again, That machlokes is rooted in a fundamental yisod as to whether or not the Torah of the Talmud Chacham is his own. If the Torah is his, then he can be mochel on the kavod. He can forgive the honor due to him. If the Torah is not his, he cannot be mochel on the kavod due to him. So the Gemara now says the following. Even if you want to say that a Rav could be mochel on his kavod, he can forgive the honor due to him. Nasi shamachal al kavodo, in kavodo mochel. We'll say if the Nasi, remember again, the Nasi was the head of the Jewish people. If the Nasi is mochel on his kavod, he cannot be mochel on his kavod. Nasi cannot go ahead and forgive the honor due to him. Is that true? Meisve Maase b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Yitzel Yishayim Subim Beis Hamishta. But yet there was a story of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yitzchak, who were reclining in the Beis Hamishta. B'no Shabbat Gamliel. We'll say, so Beis Mishnah means the wedding feast. They were reclining in the wedding feast of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. V'hayah Rabbi Gamliel omet u'mashke aleihem. Rabbi Gamliel was pouring everyone wine. This is amazing. Pouring everyone wine. Nasan hakos the Rabbi Eliezer. V'lo natlo. So we'll say, Rabbi Gamliel wanted to pour a glass of wine for Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel wanted to pour a glass of wine for Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer would not accept it. Meaning why? Because he did not feel that it was appropriate for Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, to serve him wine. Nostal Rabbi Yoshua v'kiblo. But yet, Rabbi Gamliel extended a cup of wine to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua indeed accepted it. Amrlo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer gets upset, says, Mazeh Yoshua. Yoshua, what are you doing? Anu Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, Beribi Omidu Mashke. We're going to sit here and allow Rabbi Gamliel, the great one, to go out and serve us wine. In other words, so Rabbi Eliezer is upset that Rabbi Yoshua accepted the wine. He says, Yoshua, what are you doing? You think we're going to just recline here, just recline here, and we're going to let the Gadol Hadar go out and serve us wine? So let's listen to this. It's an amazing answer. So Rabbi Yoshua essentially says, yes, and I'll tell you why. Matsinu Gadol Mimenu Shishimish. We have found people greater than Rabbi Gamliel who have served their guests. Who is greater than Rabbi Gamliel served their guests? Avram, Gadol Mimenu, Vishimish. Avram Gadol Hadar Haya. Avram Avinu was the Gadol Hadar. Uksib Bayanesed Avram Avinu, Vuhu Omeid Aleihem. That Avram Avinu literally stood over his company. This is by the three angels who came to visit him. He stood over them and saw to all of their needs. Vishema Tomru, Kimalachi Asharis Nidmulo. Maybe you'll say, you know why he served them? Why did he serve them? Well, saying, because he knew they were Malachim. Not true. The Gemara says, "Lo nidma lo ela la'arabim." It's not true. They look like a bunch of Arabs, right? They look like a bunch of just Semitic nomads. He didn't know who they were. They were just anonymous people. Va'anu lo yehir Rabbi Gamliel b'Rabbi Omid u'mashke aleinu. So if Avraham Avinu was willing to serve a group of nomads, of just people he did not know, he did not realize that they were malachim. He just thought that they were anonymous individuals. So you think it's a problem for Rabbi Gamliel to serve other Talmidei Chachamim? Say, Rabbi Yoshua says, Rabbi Eliezer, sit down, enjoy the wine, let Rabbi Gamliel serve you, and it's not a problem. It's quite a beautiful idea. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Tzadok. So Rabbi Tzadok said, Ad masai atem manichim kivodo shel makom, va'atem oskim bekavod abrius. How long are you going to go ahead and set aside the kavod due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and involve yourself in the kavod due to man? I'll both say, you'll see what this expression means in just a moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashiv Ruchos, Uma'ale Nesim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the wind to blow, causes the clouds to rise, Umorid Matar, he brings down Reinu Matzmiach Adama and causes the earth to sprout forth, Va'orich Shulchan, Lifnei Kol Echad Ve'echad, and sets the table before every single person. Va'anu, lo yehei Rabbi Gamliel b'Rabbi Omeid u'mashka aleinu. And you have a problem with Rabbi Gamliel giving us to drink. As well say, what Rabbi Tzadok was saying was the following. The Ribbono shel Olam serves us. Meaning the Ribbono shel Olam's greatest pleasure in life is to serve us, is to give us everything we need. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could serve us, then what? Certainly if Rabbi Gamliel chooses to serve us, he can do so as well. Quite a beautiful Gemara. Ela I itmar, hachi itmar. Rather, if you want to say a statement of halacha, here's what you have to say. Om Ravashi. Well, say, even if you want to say that the Nasi, if he goes in his mochel on his kavod is mochel, melech shemachal al kavodo, ein kabod l'machor. Rabbah said there is one person who cannot forgive the honor due to him, and who is that? That is the king. Because the halacha says, Shene'emar, Som tasim alecha melech, you shall place a king upon you, Shetehei emasu alecha. That the fear, the reverence of the king should always be upon you. In other words, and therefore the king may not be mochel on his kavod. Sefer Rabbah says, halacha l'maisa, what comes out of here is the following. Av shemacha al kavodo, if a father wants to be mochel on his kavod, kavodo macho. He could forgive the honor due to him. Rav Shemachal al Kavodo, if a Rav wants to be mochel on his kavod, Machlok is actually two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, but it seems to be that the halacha is that a Rav can be mochel on his kavod as well. Nasi Shemachal al Kavodo, Kavodo Machal. If the Nasi wants to forgive the honor due to him, he can. The one person who cannot, actually there are two people who see you cannot. One of them is the Melech, king cannot forgive the honor due to him. The other is Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol also cannot go ahead and forgive honor due to him, which makes sense because Kohen Gadol and Melech have many similarities. The Mar goes right there. Ten Rabbanon. They may save a talk. Now we're going to get into the beautiful sugya also of honoring our elders. You shall go ahead and if they save a talk, you should stand up in the face of an elder, bless you, in the face of an elderly person. Yochala filam if they zakin ashmai. But say, I would have thought that this is true even in front of a zakin ashmai. So Rashi says, Adam asham rasha va'ama aretz. Ashmai is a contraction for Asham, Rasha, Ama'aretz. So let's say even if I have an old person, but first of all, again, he's wicked, he's evil, and he's ignorant, I'm going to feel I have to stand up for him as well. Therefore, the Gemara says, Tamud lomar zokin. Therefore, the Pasuk says zokin. And what does zokin mean? Be'in zokin ela chacham. Chacham. Zokin only means someone who is wise. Shene'emar asfali shivim ish mizikne yisra. Rabbi Yossi aglili omer ein zokin ela misha kana chachma. We know Rabbi Yossi says that ultimately Zakin is an acronym for Zeh Shekara Chachma, he who has acquired wisdom. Therefore, again, only an old person who is wise am I obligated to be. And I will say, now what's interesting over here is the following. Apparently, we assume that as long as a Zakin is not a Zakin Ashmai, meaning as long as he's not wicked and a total ignoramus, we assume that he's a wise elderly person. We spoke about this a little bit, that just simply through life experience, we assume that a person is wise as well. So as long as you're not a Zakin Ashmai, you're considered to be a Zakin Shekana Chachma, and therefore there'd be an obligation for everyone else to honor you. Rabbi Yossi Glili Omer, fine. Shinemar Hashem Kanani Reishas Darko. Yochol Ya'amo Miparam Mimakom Rachok. So we'll say, so now the Pasuk says, Mipnei Seva Tachem Ba'adarta Pnei Zakin. I have to stand up when I see an elderly person. So I might have thought, Yochol Ya'amo Miparam Mimakom Rachok. I might have thought that I have to stand up even when the Zakin is far away. Talmud Lomar Ba'adarta. Therefore the Pasuk says, you shall honor him. Lo Amarti Kima El Bamakom Sheish Hidr. But so the only time I'm obligated to stand up is when the act of standing up, by definition, is an act of respect for the elderly person. So what does that mean? That means, again, we'll see the halacha is only within Dalet Amos. The idea is, or at least within eyeshot, I don't know if that's the right term. But when the person could see it, when it becomes clear that I'm standing up for the elderly person. So the Gemara goes, I'm obligated to honor the elderly person with money. Therefore, the positive, you shall stand up and you shall honor him. Just like standing up doesn't cost me any money. So the honor I owe to the elderly person is only without a cost to me. I don't have an obligation to spend money on it. This is interesting. I might have thought that I have to stand up for the elderly person in the bathroom as well. I mean, let's say a person is taking care of their bodily needs and an elderly person walks by. I might have thought I'm obligated to stand up. Or in the bathhouse, right? I'm obligated to stand up. Therefore, the Pasuk says, you shall stand up, but it should be an act of respect. Lo amarti kima. I only have to stand up with what Rabbi say. The act of standing up is a respectful one. But if the act of standing up, again, is going to be, you know, standing up in the bathroom or standing up in the bathhouse, that I'm not obligated to do. Yochli, second word that Rabbi say on Lama Beis on the days. Yochli, Yatsim, Eidu, Kamisha, Lo Ra'ayu. I might have thought that I have the right, if I see the Zakin in the distance, I could close my eyes and pretend like I don't see him. Talmud Lomar Takum V'Areisa. Therefore, the Pasuk says, you shall stand up and you shall revere. Gavar Hamaser Lelev. Bozai, this is something that is handed over to the heart. In other words, that you could fool everyone else, but you can't fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ne'emar Bo V'Areisa Melokecha. It says over here, It says over here, Takum V'yareisa, and it says, V'yareisa melekecha, you shall fear or revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore again, you can pretend like you don't see, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows if you saw another. Shimon Elazar Omer, Minayim L'zakei Shel Yashchech. Now this is a fascinating case. Now we've established that I'm obligated to stand up for an elderly person. But yet, how do I know that if I am an elderly person, I should go out of my way not to be matriach people to stand up? In other words, that if possible, you know, if there's a different route that I could take, or if there's a different way that I can conduct myself, that I shouldn't put upon people to honor me. How do I know that I should do that? So the Gemara says, Tamulomar zakin v'yareisa. Even the zakin should be a yare. Right? That even the zakin should be careful about how much he imposes his covet on others. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Isi ben Yehuda says, if they say Vatakam Bafilo Kol Seva Mashma. So Isi ben Yehuda says, we'll stop over here. Actually, no. Isi ben Yehuda says, if they say Vatakam, you should go ahead and stand in front of an elderly person. Afilo Kol Seva B'mashma. Both say, this is every Seva, this is every elderly person. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosei HaGlili, Hainu Tanakama. So both say, so again, so what do we do with Rabbi Yosei HaGlili? Now, if you go back to the beginning of this Sugya, so first of all, Rashi says over Kol Seva B'Mashma Afilo Zakin Ashmoi. So what Isi Ben Yehuda is, so actually we'll stop over here for today. But what Isi Ben Yehuda is coming to include is Isi Ben Yehuda is coming to include even a Zakin Ashmoi. Rashi points out Isi Ben Yehuda says there's an obligation to revere and respect old age, even if the old person himself is a Zakin Ashmoi, even if he's a Rasha, even if he's an Am Haaretz. So we'll say it's a fundamental machlokes between Isi Ben Yehuda and the Tanakama. Tanakama holds only, again, you stand up for every elderly person as long as they're not a Zakin Ashmai. Isi Ben Yehuda says, Afilu a Zakin Ashmai. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, will begin with the Machlokes in Rabbi Yosei HaGlili in terms of what happens if you have a young person who's exceptionally wise. Do you have to stand up for that person as well? So, Mirat Hashem, we'll stop over. We'll continue with this sugya tomorrow. I'm sorry? Oh, that we're going to see. We're going to see what Zakin means. The older you get, the less. Yeah. Never.